I'm going to pray. Dear Father, I do ask that you would give us all wisdom and level heads. Help us to understand the issues that we need to understand and to arrive at a good solution. And we thank you for putting us in a place where the fact that you've created man in your image is honored, and that people have things to contribute, and that we have laws that help us to respect each other. In your son's name I pray. Amen. So with that, I'll call the meeting to order. And the first item on the agenda is to approve the agenda. But before I do that, I need to make a comment. I think we're going to have to excuse the sheriff at about 15 minutes. So I think it might be wise to go ahead and move item 3, which is the nomination and appointment of the chair, the vice chair, and the recording secretary. Do that first, and then we'll jump into the rest of the agenda. So with that, do we have do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? We put the question. It's been moved by Wasland, seconded by Grumman to approve the agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Agenda is approved. With that change, so item number 3 is now number 2. So I'll hear nominations for chair, the chairman of this. So the first task is, and by the way, this is according to the charter, which I'll go through a little bit in a minute. But we need to appoint a chairman, a vice chairman, and a recording secretary. So do I hear nominations for chair?
I nominate Lee Gable to be chairman.
So, Mr. Coyston, okay. So we have a nomination and a second that I serve as chair. Are there any other nominations? Okay. So if you're in favor of nominating me to serve as chair of this committee, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Okay, motion carries. So Lee Gable is appointed chair of the committee. Do I hear nominations for the vice chairman or vice chair? I would like to nominate Megan Grumman to serve as vice chair.
Second.
Any other nominations for vice chair? You okay with that, Megan? Okay. So Megan Grumman has been nominated to serve as vice chair of the Justice Advisory Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion carries. Megan Grumman is the vice chairman. And by the way, the way this works, these terms are for 1 year. So after this time next year, so we say that the term starts in February, 1st of February. And so this time next year, we go through this again. The term to serve as a committee member, just in general, you know, no matter what officer you serve as, is 2 years. And that's where we'll go through that in the county commission to review the process to appoint the two county commissioners and members of the public. And then do I hear, lastly, we need to appoint a recording secretary. Do I hear nominations for the recording secretary? If you don't, I have one. I would like to nominate Julie Raddick, who has agreed to serve in that capacity. Do I hear a second? So it's been moved and seconded for Julie Roddick to serve as recording secretary of the Justice Advisory Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion carries. So thank you, Julie, for doing that, because it works out really well, by the way, because it's good that the voting members don't need to be worried about taking minutes, so Julie can focus on that, and she's able and willing to do that. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is now an overview of the charter, so I'm going to go pretty fast. I'll try to go fast. If any members of the committee, the way we'll run this, in general, we're going to follow Robert's Rules of Order. If we find, by the way, what I would suggest is if we find where that's not convenient, we may need to develop some bylaws to define the procedure. But for the most part, it's going to be Robert's Rules of Order. So if you have any questions as we go through the charter, please let me know. So there's the agenda, which is supposed to be on that slide. So we're at number 2 there. Okay, the first part of the charter, and this is a little bit of the mom and apple pie part, but I think it's important for us to keep this in mind. The first part of the charter says that it refers to the U.S. And the South Dakota constitutions, and both of those documents in the first sentence say that our country and our state exist in order to establish justice. And so with that, you'd expect the governing authorities at all levels, federal, state, and local, to have a role in that. And when you know it, South Dakota law does say so. I think we all know, but it speaks to both court space and to jail space. And so I'm just going to put the laws as they read up there so that people can take a quick look. And by the way, this is all linked to the Justice Advisory Committee website. But you can see that essentially what this comes down to is that counties are responsible to provide space for courts. So both for court proceedings, court staff, circuit court, magistrate court. And I don't know if Judge Tim, if you wanted to add anything to that, but that's essentially where this comes from. So this is, and it's not a, different states do things different way, but the way South Dakota does it is counties provide court space. And so that's kind of where we get that responsibility from. And then on the jail side, similarly in 24.11.2 of South Dakota codified law, it tells us that we need to provide jail facilities as well.
You know, if I could give just a historical
please
note here, going back to the inception of statehood, there was a different judicial system that was arranged by the legislature. We had county judges, we had municipal judges, we had four county justices of the peace. We had every township had a justice of the peace, and then there were circuit court judges as well, and there was a division of labor between all of them. And if you look back at the statutes, and I pulled out the 1939 code today and looked at that, there is a requirement from the legislature that the county provide a county courthouse, and that provides space for the county judge. It's mandatory. There's also a requirement that there be space for the circuit court judge. The interesting thing that I found about that was that it was only the county seats that were on a railroad line that had to provide place for the circuit court judge, because the circuit court judges rode the circuit back in those days. They'd get on a train and go to Clark, and they'd spend what they called a term of court several days in that particular location. The judges got $100 a month to help cover their room cost in these out-of-town places. But we changed things up in 1972. There was a constitutional amendment that unified the justice system, did away with the county judges, did away with the justices of the peace, did away with, and there, you know, the county courthouse that was built back in 1928-29 was built because of the way things were arranged back then for the judiciary and the division of labor. The municipal court judge was over in City Hall on West Kemp, and the jail was there too because they had city offenses. But there was also a county jail. The county judge, who was in the west side of the current courthouse, had limited jurisdiction and did mainly probate matters, and that's why there was a little teeny courtroom over there that serviced that little slice of the law. The circuit court judge had jurisdiction over felonies and felony cases where you're going to have to call a lot of jurors and there'd be a lot of witnesses and so forth. And so that big courtroom went to the circuit court judge, and that's how that all got arranged. Anyhow, that's my historical note. In 1972, the Constitution changed. We went to a unified judicial system. The county judge was eliminated. All of the authority that was vested in the various judges became vested in circuit court judges. And so in 1975, there was a rewrite of the law, and these are the laws that were in the session laws that went through the legislature. And we have shall, may, and when you read statutes in para materia, when they're in the same legislation, you read them so that they are not absurd. And may can mean shall, and does in this case mean shall. So there's no question, and there's even a Supreme Court case out of Pennington County that I actually sat on as a utility justice that makes fairly clear that the counties have this obligation. So there isn't any question as to what the county's obligation is given to the county as a subdivision of the legislature, subdivision of state government. And so the county has to meet the needs of the judicial system, and that's just a simple overview, a little historical stuff, and kind of a nutshell of where we're at and why we're here.
Thank you.
All right.
I need that microphone, please. Thank you for that, Judge Tim. That was some of that I was kind of wondering about, actually. So, and then similarly, this is the more or less the set of laws that deal with jail space. One thing I want to note, that the top one, 2411-2, that's pretty clear to establish a jail at the expense of the county. The next one, shown 23, I highlighted the word policies, because policy is what counties do when they, part of what they do when they do ordinances, but also budgets, and they pay for things. And so this is about all the different conditions, the parameters of a jail, in a pretty broad sense. But it's saying that this is something the counties have to look after, and part of that is going to be a particular facility. Okay, so any questions on the legal basis of what we're doing here? So this is the point. There is that this is serious. We're told to do this in law. And that from time to time we're going to have issues in that area. And I think I'll get to that in a minute, but that's part of what this committee is about. The other thing you'll notice,
I just got a quick question. Where did it change? It says the establishment of county jail at expense of the county. It said every county shall establish a jail. Where has it changed that these other counties don't have a jail anymore? You know, I was just wondering where in law did it change that.
Yeah. If you look at Chapter 24, and you can see it's referenced in there, except as provided in 24.11.3, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I did look that up, and it does allow for jails to do things like what our neighboring counties do. So they have to find space. They have to have space somewhere, and sometimes that means, you know, that's why that exception is there, so they can go to another county and get that space. That's a good question. It's called the Justice Advisory Committee because we advise. So essentially, it's not a decision-making body, but it's a tool for the county and the county commissioners to examine this particular area of their responsibilities and to provide information and advice in the form of some kind of report or recommendation is what I think it's going to come out as. So, advisory, they're not decisions where we would not make a decision in this committee to build a new building or add on to the current facility, but we might recommend that. And who do we advise? Well, the county commissioners. And this is also a tool for citizens, particularly as they go out and vote. So that's one of the good things about South Dakota public meeting laws, is that we get that secondary benefit by doing this. I know this might not be a very exciting thing to watch a committee in process, but it's an important thing to be able to do. And this is just a small part of the process, the actual committee meetings, but there are also things where we put our minutes out in the public, and we have a website that we can use as a tool. And thankfully, the internet makes it a lot easier to do that. And I think if you'll indulge me, I would like to pause, since I have the word website on the slide there. I just want to, for everybody here, I'd like to orient you to the website. Hold on 1 second here. I have this all set to go. Okay, that's what the some of you probably have checked this out already, but on the Coddington County website, if you go over to that, you can get to the page that's being shown there under the county offices. We placed a link. It says Justice Advisory Committee. So right there where the little hand is. And there's a little bit of an explanation about what we're doing. But also, anybody wants to go back and look at the charter, look at the resolution that appointed the current set of members, current instructions to the committee, that's there. The stuff that's right here under court and jail space needs information, that's been on the Cottington County website for a while, but essentially that's the information that was assembled over the course of about 12 years, start to finish. I think the earliest document that's on there is about 2002, up until the vote in November. And we'll get into that a little bit later. And then one thing I want to point you to, and this I think will be a good reference for us and for the public, under the useful links. Particularly, there are questions always about what are the standards, where are you getting the standards from, the best practices, why should a jail look a certain way, why should a courtroom look a certain way, there are links to many of those documents as well. They're kind of big. I don't know if you want to actually download them to your computer to look at them, but you might. But they're linked there online. And one of the things I would add is the American Corrections Association standards are online. They're put there through a couple of other organizations that are interested in jails. Okay. Getting back to our program. Okay, and then when I say participate in the discussion, I mean the broader discussion. There will be times, of course, during a meeting that's held in the public to ask for public comment. And we may also do, public Q&A meetings as well over the course of time, just like we did leading up to the vote in November. But the main thing is that all of our information and what we do is in the public eye. So it's transparent. County commissioners can be contacted. Some of you may have already been contacted by your friends for agreeing to join the committee. And I appreciate that, by the way. So that's the idea. So the basic process, very simple, when you're talking about an advisory committee. Someone identifies an issue. It can be anyone. So we need to excuse Sheriff Wisher. So anyone can identify an issue. In this case, we have some instructions from the commissioners, which I'll get into, or we can see something on our own as a committee and take initiative and study an issue and see if we need to make a report or recommendation. So pretty simple process. Study the issue and then do a report or recommendation, provide information that we think is useful to the county commissioners. So the whole idea is that we're supporting good decision making by being an advisory council or advisory committee. Okay, we've already done number three. So now we come to the part where we're talking about what is the issue, what is the problem that we think we've identified. And I think we kind of know what it is, but essentially what this slide shows is the problem in the courts. So we have a dramatic increase in caseload from the time the courthouse was built in 1928. These particular cases on this slide. So we have just under 1,800 between criminal filings, which would include felonies and Class 1 misdemeanors, and then civil filings, but just the divorce and civil proceedings. So this isn't everything. This doesn't include all the little stuff. These are the ones that generally would go to court most often. Each of these includes multiple appearances in a courtroom. So this is a pretty demanding thing, it appears to be, on our court space. And the top bullet there on the right is the issue is that that courthouse was built with a medium-sized, I would call it a medium-sized jury-capable courtroom. Is that a fair characterization that's medium-sized, Judge Tim?
It's adequate.
Yeah, okay. But if you're looking a little big, and a small non-jury courtroom.
How many of them cases are Cottington County?
All.
All?
Yeah, these are all. And
these, and
other counties tend to try their own, in their county courthouses, whether they use our jail or not. So that tends to be how it happens. And by the way, these statistics are the for the past, I'd say, what, 14 or so years, the UJS has a good website. You can go in there and search all these statistics. So when it gets back into say the 90s and the 80s, then those are trips to the basement of the courthouse a lot of times for our clerk of courts. So a couple of the things that this seems to be causing, that this problem is, we're having to schedule, or the court is having to schedule trials and proceedings about 6 months out or more. And so it's kind of the way for somebody like me, who's not a judicial person, or doesn't work in the judicial system, the courts have to overbook in hopes that some of those cases are going to be settled out of court. So similar to the way the airlines overbook in hopes that somebody's not going to show up for their flight. And then you can see where we're getting into issues of speedy trial. So this makes it, and this is something I think that we can talk about, how much impact this has on the state's attorney. So as they have to figure out which cases are most important, which ones are coming close to a deadline, so they try to get through cases within 180 days, typically, so that we can maintain that right to a speedy trial. So that's the challenge, that's why this is important. So, and then, of course, along with that caseload goes people, staff, you know, court administration people, and others that need to, or clerk of courts personnel that need to manage that file, manage that evidence. Okay, and on the, so that's kind of just a capacity issue. So the other thing that we're seeing is, since the courthouse is old and times have changed, that the structural features of the courthouse are different than what if you were to run out and build a courthouse now using modern building standards, then things would be a bit different. And probably the most significant issues, most of these issues have to do with being able to separate the different populations of people that use the courthouse, be it the public, be it people who work for the judicial system or jurors, or inmates who are witnesses. And so those patterns of circulation are not, at least in our current courthouse, are not designed, it's not designed to keep those populations separate as they move around the courthouse, as they move to trial, as they move to the witness stand. So that's a safety and security issue. And then a couple of the operational issues, a lot of limitations on the attorney-client space so that attorneys and clients can talk to each other in private. And then handicapped accessibility. So we talked a lot about ADA issues leading up to the vote. That's significant when you're renovating or building. So that's another aspect of the structural issues of the courthouse. Okay, switching over to the jail, again, perhaps it's not at constant overload, but this graph here shows just a simple plot of the average daily population averaged over a year from 1985 to 2014. And you can see we have a steady rise. It goes up and down a little bit, but I think you can unmistakably see a steady rise. And the jail space has been expanded over time. And the capacity, I think, even though there aren't, and you can add it, chime in, Tom, if you'd like to. The capacity of the jail is, even though there are 96 beds, it's somewhere between 70 and 80, depending on the populations that you're dealing with. Would that be a fair characterization? So yes. It starts getting difficult at about 70. So the real capacity is, even though there are 96 beds there, if everything works well and you're able to separate the different populations, be it sentenced, unsentenced, male, female, juvenile, adult, then you're probably at 80 if everything is just right. So you can see that, in a way it's a good thing that we're seeing this problem now before it's always, you know, people are sleeping on the floor. So we can see a steady growth in the ADP. So a couple other things that at times it does spike, and it goes, then I don't know what you guys do at those particular times, but it's a challenge. But and one thing, when I was down there the other day, Sheriff Wisher pointed out that he had some unsentenced, because of the amount of unsentenced inmates that were there at that particular moment, they were in a cell block that didn't have that extra cage that, so that if a jailer were to open that cell block, the inmates would be right there. And so that's kind of a, that's probably an inappropriate space, but sometimes that for, that's forced because the population works a certain way. Okay, get that right? Okay. Okay, then just in addition to space issues, we also have structural issues. And so the question is, you know, the problem that we're identifying, that we're seeing, that the County Commission is seeing, is that the structural features are a problem as well, and that they are somewhat outdated. So linear layout means you can't directly observe. You have to use, you have to rely on video and checks where you're looking into each cell block or section of the jail. And then the ACA standards. Now, this is something we can get into, but is that a fair characterization? And by the way, we can change these slides to accurately reflect the issues. I mean, just because they're on a slide doesn't mean I can't get on there and, you know, fix it. So would that be accurate to say that most cells are probably not in compliance with the American Corrections Association floor space standards? So, okay. And by the way, it probably would be appropriate to just pause and say, what's the big deal about the ACA standards? Well, that's the way these things have come about is through a series of court cases over, you know, many years, probably starting as early as the 60s is where they started really thinking about, you know, what do constitutional rights apply to inmates in jails and prisons. And over time, the court cases grew more numerous, and associations like the American Corrections Association established some standards that help people in our situation as we're thinking about this to address the needs to treat prisoners humanely and also to protect jail personnel, prison personnel, and inmates from each other. And so, because that's our responsibility as a county when they're in our jail. And so the issue there is we're trying to obviously avoid liability, which could cost the county a lot of money, but it's also the right thing to do to treat people humanely. So that's kind of where that comes from. And so that's, and by the way, there are links to that on the website, so you can take a look. It's a little bit, you kind of have to familiarize yourself with the material, but and wade through a little bit. But as we talk about this, these are the issues I think we're going to have to address, or at least document. And then your intake and release, one thing that I learned about jails is that it's not just who you keep in jail, but there's also a booking process, and not everybody that gets booked goes into a jail cell. Some of them get released, and so that throughput, it needs adequate space as well. And so the booking area is probably inadequate, would you say, for the amount of intake and release? I mean, I got that impression from talking to you guys. If that's not correct, we can...
Yes, you're correct. You know, based on the amount of activity that we have going through the booking room, because that's where everything happens. So if we have somebody who is being booked into jail and we've got another inmate who needs to get out on a work release, you know, that comes to a standstill. If we have a juvenile that's being booked, everything stops because we can't run adult inmates through there. So,
okay.
Just with that activity in there, it creates some issues.
Okay. Yeah, to me that was interesting to understand that's, you know, as much work as housing the inmates. You also have all this whole other process going on all the time. Okay, and then the juvenile area. The state has said it's okay right now. It meets the standards. But there have been a few organizations. The JDAI has been by to visit and take a look, and so they're... that's something that we will need to think about, I think. Is that a fair assessment? Because the norm is getting to be where a juvenile facility is a completely separate facility with a completely separate staff. And so I don't think we want to do that, you know, if we can address it with our current staff, or, you know, whether we build something new or not, someday, you know, that could be a challenge. So, okay. Before I go on, any questions? That's just trying to outline the current problem, so the issue. So we have, you know, a purpose for our committee, and now we got a problem that we're going to study. Okay. So again, we do have instructions to address this problem from the county commissioners. And again, I probably should have had that with me, but it is on the next slide. So this is, and if you look at the minutes from that meeting where the committee charter was adopted, members were appointed. The instructions were also issued at that meeting, so that's online as well under the committee origination documents. So the first thing that we need to look at is what's been done before, and can we get anything out of that? So there was a lot of work done, a lot of analysis done, a lot of research done before November 2014 when we had the bond election, which failed. And so is there anything useful still in there? And so I think there's probably some things. But and I've been looking at it myself, and I'll offer my conclusions about that in a minute. Okay, but there's no doubt, there are no doubt going to be some things, some details that we need to look at. And so the question is, can we analyze, research that, compile that data on our own with our own county resources? And by the way, public members, don't worry, we're not going to give you too many homework assignments. So, or do we need to look someplace else to obtain that analysis? So are there some things where we might want to look at other expertise? And that would be, and you notice the word recommend in there. So if you're talking about spending money on a consultant, well, that's not something we have the authority to do in this advisory committee. All we can do is recommend to the Board of County Commissioners. And I think this is a critical point. So those first two bullets really deal with determining what our needs are. So that's really where we're at, and that's a discussion we want to have, you know, in a setting like this, and we want to hear what be out in the public and hear what people say, so that we can have an idea what, you know, there might be other things that we don't think about, and particularly with this next thing, because from our needs, once we determine them, we can derive criteria. So then I put those into two sets. So one would be those kind of yes or no screening criteria. So once we determine our needs, we can have an idea, for example, of what is the necessary floor space, what are the necessary types, what are the necessary numbers, what are the necessary sizes of particular spaces that we need either in a courthouse or in a jail, and how does that compare to our current resources, to our current facilities. So those kinds of things. So this is pretty much data gathering, and then just taking that data and making criteria out of it. And then once we get down the road, another set of criteria is that comparative criteria. So once a series of options pass through the screening criteria, we still have issues like cost, like ergonomics or ease of use or efficiency of a particular option. So those are the things that help us compare one option to another. So I think criteria, and by the way, this I think is really would be a helpful thing. And anybody chime in? Criteria can be a very helpful thing, because that's something we can have a discussion about very openly. And if we're saying, and without talking about a particular facility, so we just say, do we need this or we don't need this? Some of these criteria might be based upon assumptions that we decide to make or choices that we decide to make. So, as a community. And that the idea there, by looking at criteria first before you start really getting into options, is it helps us to maintain our objectivity, because this is kind of an emotional issue. So we're trying to remove that emotion. Okay, and then of course recommending options. So, and this is something, you know, that we all have things in our head. We all have ideas. People write into the paper with their thoughts, and those are all good things. So once we have that criteria, though, we can start, you know, either saying, yeah, that's a viable option. Okay, let's put that on the list of things to evaluate in a comparative way. So we want to generate these kind of options. And I would group the options into two categories. Number one, I would say, you know, a particular facility, a solution to answer our needs. Okay. And then secondarily is our options on how to execute that. How do we pay for it? Where do we locate it? Do we need to phase it? So those kinds of questions. So, and that's essentially what we're told to do by the Board of County Commissioners. Okay, and any questions on that? Okay, and that's pretty much right out of the minutes, the County Commission minutes. Okay, if you're looking at this, This diagram comes from a National Center for State Courts guide on developing and building a courthouse. But it's pretty typical of any kind of construction project. I'm not a construction person, but I've done some projects in the military. And anything starts with a planning phase. And then when you're talking about a building, you got to design it, you got to bid it, you got to build it, and you got to occupy it. We are at the very beginning there. And so that, and those questions that the county commission has given to us, those instructions, are pretty much within that first block, the planning part of any project. So we're not up in the design phase. You kind of the part where you get to an architect that starts saying, well, this is a concept. Well, that kind of crosses between those two points in the process. And one other thing, this is a typical project management diagram. You can see on the bottom there those phases: planning, design, bidding, and construction. And the dark color represents opportunity for savings. So early on in the process, you know, the more we work these issues, we work hard to determine our needs and come up with some criteria that are valid that will really help us to sift through, the more opportunity we have to change things cheaply. As things go on, obviously, it gets more expensive. So the idea being, it's pretty important. We need to work hard in an advisory committee. So that's kind of, and I appreciate the members of the public being here to hear this and to help us as we develop options and as we talk about what we need to know and what criteria we need to develop. Okay. I think we'll just proceed on. I don't really see a need to I put on the agenda that we have possible action, but I don't see a need to make a motion at this moment. Perhaps later on. Okay. Now, this diagram comes from a. And by the way, make sure to say where we're on. Yeah, we're still on number 6. Okay, I guess I have my slides mixed up there. We're still on number 6. So this is, if you look at that first block that I had on the previous slide, where it just said planning, this is one way to break apart that planning block. And this diagram comes from the National Institute of Corrections Jail Design Guide, the 3rd edition. But the first thing I think we've done is project recognition. That's kind of problem identification. And so we kind of know we have some kind of an issue with space, structural issues with both the courthouse and jail. The second part, and we've started to talk about that up before the vote in November 2014, is seeing what do we really need. But the county commissioners have told us that we need to look at that again and see what else we need to analyze to really get down to what we need. And then also along with that is determining those criteria, developing those options, and then evaluating the options with those criteria so that we can make recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners. So it makes sense. Any questions on that? Okay. So this next part, I think, is perhaps more opportunity for discussion. And so what we need, this is my first go at generalizing, my first try at generalizing the stuff we know, the stuff we need to think about, the stuff we really don't know. So what I think we know is that there are standards and best practices out there. We know what the modern ones are in a general sense, but those are available to us and through the ACA, through the National Center for State Courts, through other sources that provide best practices for courts and jails. And so that's something that we know. That's a key part of research, and I know there was a lot of discussion about, you know, where do these standards come from before the vote in November. Those are very fair questions, and so we do know those things, but I think perhaps we, in a general sense. And then, as I tried to outline before, I think we know the basic issues with the space and the structure of the two facilities, of the court and the jail. So, and those are pretty general statements, but I think we have a good, solid general sense of things. Any questions on that? Okay. current state of analysis. So, and what we need to confirm or revisit. So this is kind of the, I put the stoplight up there. So the green stuff, we feel comfortable. Yeah, we know we got a problem. We know there's generally a problem with space, in, especially in the court, but also we're seeing it in the jail. We're seeing the structural issues in both places. However, I think the stuff that we're not comfortable with is probably in the detail. So the, for example, inventorying the space, getting the exact square footages. And so this is kind of, in a way, looking at what resources we have to put against the problem. In this case, space inventory would be facilities. So looking at what exactly the features are, plus what exactly the features are, and what exactly are the size of those features in both facilities. And then detailed breakdowns both for the court and the jail. And some of that, those, as I referred to before, both the UJS and the keeps very good, you can get good statistics for about the past 12 years on the UJS website. So those are there, and same goes for the jail flow. However, there may be, what I'm referring to here is that there may be other factors, such as dynamics within the population of the county, that might give us, shed some light on what may, say, project into the future. So what I sense is that there's, even though the sheriff and the courts do a good job of tracking what their workload and the types of cases and the types of things they do, so we have a pretty good picture of what's going on in both places, but are there other ways to look at that data that will help us, particularly when we're talking about projecting our future needs? And then what would be the impact, say if we put best practice, say if we applied ACA standards to the jail, what would be the impact of that? So would that mean how would that affect the cells? Could we put two inmates in the cells that we're currently doing right now, for example? And then a structural detail on some of the facilities. It's there. I think we, and the architect that the county hired before did take a look at, in general terms, a look at the courthouse, but I think we need to make sure we have a good picture of the structural details of both facilities, because that will tell us, that's more information about inventorying our resources, so to speak, so that we know what we have to put against the problem. So, and by the way, one thing I did not put on there that I should probably have mentioned is the financial resources of the county. You saw in the news that we talked about, and this was just before I took office at the end of 2014, one of the last meetings, talking about the amount of reserves that the financial reserves that the county has. So that's a resource that goes into the inventory, something that we may be, that factors into our options, or into how we evaluate our options later on. So in other words, how much money could the county spend out of its reserves on a facility if that's what we wanted to do? And then what we really don't know. And I think this is, you know, people might have different opinions on this. This is my opinion right at this point. And if you agree, we can leave it as is, as a starting point. But the thing that's going to help us build a facility that's going to last, if that's what we decide we need to do, is to project out what these caseloads are likely to be and what the average daily population of inmates is likely to be. Then the last thing are the assumptions and choices. So what I'm getting at there is what kind of assumptions should we make as to, say, how long these facilities should last. So how long do we want them to last, 20 years, 40 years? So we have to decide those kinds of things. Do we want to, you know, how much attention do we want to pay to the historical value of the current courthouse? So all those kind of things that we really need to agree upon and say this is the way we want to go. And so that's done through discussion. Okay, by the way, any questions? So that's kind of what we know, what we're not comfortable with, and what we don't know.
So, I don't know if this is a place to interject, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chairman, but wondering, I think there was maybe assumptions made, or I'm not sure if there was current conversation that was going on with other counties mm-hmm. and on the statewide level. I mean, is there some of that data? Is there something that we should be analyzing, actually having those conversations with other counties, seeing what the buy-in may or may not mm-hmm. be? I don't know if you want to lump that under
I think that'd probably be something to talk about both assumptions and because you're going to want to decide whether or not we are going to keep on housing, say, other counties' inmates. So that's something that's probably does need to factor in. You know, make an assumption, and we, you know, be based on research that counties are going to continue to want to use our jail space. So.
And the same with this, what's happening in state legislature right now. Just checking into.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an ebb and flow. I think that.
Yeah.
I understand
yeah.
that, but.
I think that would be that would probably factor into, say, the kind of financial resources we might have available, and the kind of things that the legislature, that the law might tell us to do with regard to these responsibilities. So, you know, one assumption might be that the law is not going to change. We're going to be stuck with these responsibilities, or maybe, you know, and they're just. I think the legislature is just beginning to talk about that. You know, like, for example, I'm hopeful they might appoint a task force to study it, a summer task force to study it. So, and then that's another good point, by the way. You know, we're going to have to make some assumptions, and I think part with, say, how things like SB 70, that's the law that pushes some of the responsibility for sentencing or carrying out a sentence down at the county level. You know, from the state level to the county level, and then they're looking at similar legislation for juveniles this year. So, making some assumptions how that's going to affect us in the future. So, that would be another area. Any other questions on? Okay. And so now we kind of get into the homework a little bit. I've used something we like to use in the military. We like red and green. So green is we're happy. So I left the green out there because we know we have a problem. So that's basically, I think we can say that our data gathered up until the election, we know we have a problem. But the amber part, the yellow part, where we have kind of an inventory, we have kind of an idea of what we have in terms of a courthouse, in terms of the jail. But I think we'd probably need to look into more detail on that, and we can. I think we can obtain most of that on our own. So what the first column is? The first column says what thing I think we're talking about. And granted, these are kind of general statements. These are not detailed statements. But they come from the previous slides that I just showed you. So the needs. And then the second column is what the stuff that I think we might be able to do here, and maybe you, Judge or Tom, you could help us with understanding that more correctly. Who might be able to do that from amongst? That's the third column. And then there may be. I'm suggesting that there might be a need for some outside help on some of these or some aspects of, say, space inventory, understanding what might be done to a facility. You know, that might be the advice of an architect, it might be the advice of somebody that works a court consultant, so things like that. So I think maybe I'll just read these off so that and you can think about them as we go. So the first one being space inventory, that's something we can pull out blueprints and we can count those things out and understand the square footages, and then keep in the back of our mind that we are trying to compare these to standards and best practices. And I think we can go to the facilities director to help us with that or a particular office. And I think that's probably going to be a job for some county commissioner or some member of it. So it'll probably be one of us, I think, that deal with that. And then at some point, I don't really have a particular consultant in mind on the outside help part, but I know there are things that architects can help us understand with regard to the space, and the same goes for jail consultants and court consultants. Second one, detailed breakdown of the data for the court and jail. We have a lot of good historical data from both entities, and so that's going to carry on. One thing to keep in mind when you're talking about data, and I don't want the sheriff's office or the court to take this wrong, is that to analyze data a certain way or to compile it in a different way, that's a lot of work, and we don't have other people to do that. So that's why consultants actually end up saving us money sometimes. So that's the bug I want to put in your ear. And so compiling things in another way and looking at them in another way is often a very useful thing, and that can save us a lot of money in the long run and help us understand our needs correctly, so that whatever we come up with is the right size and has the right criteria applied to it. And then understanding the impact of the standards and best practices, I think that goes to all of us as we have time. For the members of the public that are on the committee, as you have time to take a look at those standards and best practices that are online and kind of get a feel for what they are. Things like, what I anticipate doing is walking through maybe one or two of these things in future meetings and in a bit more detail, so that we can have a good understanding. Say, for example, what does a modern courtroom look like? How does that compare after we've inventoried our current court spaces? So, and understanding what the comparison is. What does the space look like? What kinds of features does say a modern courtroom have that ours doesn't? And so, that's something I think we can do to some extent on our own. But again, how understanding that more situationally, I guess, with the expertise of a consultant might be something we'd want to talk about. Same thing with structural information. I've been contacting two architects that were consultants, the one that from last year, as well as another one that worked on some of the renovation of the detention center in, when was that, 2007 or something?
No. 2007, 2008.
Yeah, so as long as we're not, they're usually, if it's not work they've already done, they're usually happy to provide drawings or an opinion of what they thought about things. But those are not the level of a structural engineering analysis. But if we decide that we want to explore an option that might mean some structural modification, some serious structural modification, we're going to want to get another kind of an engineer to consult on that. But in a general sense, I think we can probably get that with some of the stuff that we already have. That's my opinion, but we can talk about that as we come to that in the process. And then the three things that I really think that this is a starting point. I put them in red because I think we need to look hard at them. Are the projections out there, and there are different assumptions you can make that will change how you project caseload, how you project average daily population of inmates, and so we can pull a lot of that historic data. We can do a straight line projection, Excel. You just plug it in, and it pops it out to however far out you want to go, and that'll give you some general idea. But that obviously doesn't account for other factors that somebody who understands, say ratios of population to the number of inmates. So those are things that would be, I think, hard for most of us that work at the county to do. And it would also be a lot of work for one of our county employees to try to figure out. So those are things that I'm suggesting we might want to be thinking about outside of. But in the meantime, the basic data we can still be, we're compiling that still goes on. And it's still useful and gives us an idea, and it helps us identify the problems that gets us to the point that we're at now. And then again, the assumptions and choices that we make, I think that's something that we're all going to be involved in. Sometimes the other consultants that we hire for other things, if that's what we decide to recommend, might be a help in that as well. So I think what might be useful is, everybody have enough coffee and everything? I was told the coffee, I got LATI's leftover cafe coffee, so it wouldn't cost the county any money. So that was, I don't know how hot it is. I think at this moment it might be useful to, and I don't want to go too late, since we have several members of the public here, if there's anything that we are missing, and I'd like to, if everybody's okay, I'd like to open it up to any public comment, stuff to add, but I would ask this of anybody who wants to comment, that we would focus on, number one, are we talking about things that are going to get us to a point where we have a good idea of what the needs are, and do you, in such a way that we will be able to establish criteria so that and that's where we're really talking about what we want. Criteria is kind of another way of saying this is what we want out of our facilities. And so looking at those two areas, and what I would ask people to do, if you have ideas like, you know, do this to the courthouse, change the basement to that, or whatever, you know, we all have those ideas. We're all thinking about it. I mean, I go to bed, people don't seem to think about this as much as I do. When I talk to them, I don't know what it is. But they, so we all have ideas about what kinds of options we might want to see, you know, a new building, adding to the current courthouse, whatever the thing is. But I would ask you to put that aside for the time being so we can focus on the criteria that will help us to treat that those questions more objectively without and with less emotion. And so that's what I would ask. So the first question I would ask anybody in the room, and Julie, I don't know if you can maybe just type these up, kind of, this might be a little bit of brainstorming that I would ask anybody, is do we have those needs correct? Are we, as far as the general idea of what we need informationally to determine what our needs are, do we have that right, is the question. So I open it up to whoever wants to say anything about that. Mr. Mack, do you want to, can everybody hear, by the way, do we need to, your recording's going to pick it up pretty well.
I don't have a problem here with me, but I think you're on the right track. I don't want to see an over-assumption on that word. The only option is building. I think the needs assessment and compiling of the data, I think, needs to come first. One of the things, when you talk about the ACA guidelines and these mm-hmm. different guidelines, mm-hmm. these are like optimal. I mean, these are like in the perfect world. There is a lower accepted criteria, and this is the top criteria. And I think as you look at all the different options, I think you need to look at it. What is the lowest criteria? What is the very best? Mm-hmm. What fits wherever you're going? I mean, anybody in business or farming or whatever, there's the ideal you'd like to be at. You know, there's the minimum you can do. And then there's also a middle ground. Mm-hmm. And I think as you look through that, you're going to want to look
right
at the range and tweak things that way.
Yeah.
And I would encourage using outside consultants for some of the statistical analysis and population projections and some of those things so that we really, whatever we do is ideally suited to where all the best evidence points for the future.
Yeah, I appreciate. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think what you're talking about with regard to the standards and best practices,
yep.
It's kind of a risk assessment. I mean, sometimes, and I think, you know, we'll have to figure out a way to say, you know, part of that's going to be a yes or no, the screening part of the criteria. But you're talking about using that as well as for kind of a comparative criteria.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and I'm just going to give you one for instance,
yeah, okay.
Or an example. ACA standards will say 75. Square feet or 70 square feet mm-hmm. per jail inmate or something.
Right.
But other states have established jail standards using 40 or 45 feet that have been accepted by the courts, mm-hmm. have been challenged under the courts, and so on. So the range is ideally
yeah.
probably like 70
yeah.
square feet or whatever.
Yeah.
But there is an area in there between
yeah.
45 and 70 that may mm-hmm. be appropriate.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean, and it is kind of the sum of all the parts. When a court looks at it, it's kind of the sum of all the parts. You know, what are the overall conditions, and so the ACA provides kind of some hard and fast parameters that will help. But yeah, fair point. Anybody else?
See, on the first thing here, you have consultants and stuff, and I think we consulted quite a bit. What I think we need to do is,
you want to get the names.
You know, with, based on building new, you know, a lot of things, when there's a lot, I've been in the courthouse for a long time, and we went with a lot of different counties, and some of them is built beside, and that has worked very well. Perkins has got the old school across the street, and that works very well. I think there's, you know, we should find out what we want, then start with architects and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Besides, because if I run a business, an architectural business, I'm going to say, okay, let's build it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's try to steer you away from what may work just as well.
Yeah.
Just as possible.
No, I appreciate that. I think that's. That's kind of the idea, is to get rid of the, you know, get rid of the emotion. We talk in terms of, like you say, what we want. That's, and the way I was trying to say that was criteria. And so by establishing some solid criteria and having that discussion, then we can kind of, as a community, decide, okay, this is what we want. We want it to do, you know, like as Mr. Mack was saying, we want it to answer ACA in a certain way, you know, and understand the risks that we might be taking by maybe giving them something, but trying to, you know, make the conditions better in another way. So, and those are questions that, you know, we're going to look to our chief corrections officer and sheriff, but we also might want to talk to a consultant as well. So, thank you. Anybody else? Mr. Matt, or Mr. Tobson.
Thank you for engaging us. I guess I looked at this, the current state of the analysis, what we know, and I think one key point Mr. Gable overlooked is that it failed a lot. Mm-hmm. It failed a lot today. And I've listened to your testimony, if you will, tonight, and I keep hearing about building and sort of hanging on to what has failed. Maybe I'm reading into it, but I'm just trying to listen very carefully.
Well,
and I would ask each of the committee members to give careful consideration to, have you accepted that $35 million has failed, and have you accepted that 212 West on the north side of the road has failed? And as we identify needs and what we need to do with people like Judge Tim in the court systems and Toby, then we can set if we come to terms with what's failed and what this county is willing to pay for, I think we can really make great headway. Okay? The approach with having people on the inside on the committee struggle. I think Judge Tim would come and testify to the committee. I think Toby Wish would come and testify. And then we would ask them to produce the information. And you would have impartial and fair and impartial people that don't have, and I'm not saying they can't be fair and impartial, but that wouldn't have an agenda, that wouldn't want
I'm happy to talk to you about it. It's just that's not quite the place in the meeting, but I appreciate that.
It's a point for the committee. Every meeting.
Yeah, here's what I'll offer for those kind of comments. We're kind of close to the end of my agenda, but why don't we, after we adjourn, we can go ahead and you know, we can talk about this stuff. We can have a little Q&A. I'll stay for that. What I kind of need from you right now is looking at do we have it right? Do we have the kind of questions to determine our needs right? And those kind of things.
I'll just end with this. There's nothing that I've heard tonight that we didn't have a discussion on last fall, and we addressed all of these issues. There's nothing new I've heard tonight. So I'm going to respectfully put the question back on you and the committee. I've not heard one new fact about where we are with any of this stuff that we didn't know last fall when it failed. And I'll just leave it at that. Just thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment. Mr. Mack?
Just one more thing briefly, and I don't know if there's a way to do this. I think it's probably up to the committee. We have looked at this issue as the jail space and needs and court space as a single issue. And I don't know if it's feasible or not. I mean, like I said, that's kind of up to the committee, but it almost seems like it would make sense to go in and identify when the court system hits critical mass, when the jail hits critical mass. Are there any opportunities for addressing one, then going to address the other one? It may be less financial burden. It may be an option. I don't know if that's feasible or not, but I think while you look at them as a whole, I think you have to look at each of those individually also. Because, and I'm looking from outside in, sometimes I get the impression we're going to hit critical mass on one before the other one, and I don't know how to answer that.
No, but I think what you're getting to a criterion that says, kind of the ease of implementation that would kind of help us to determine maybe some phasing options, if that's, you know, so maybe. And also you're trying to get into some a criterion perhaps about where you might locate, you know, co-location or not. That so that comes down to a criterion for efficiency. So
let me make a comment, Mr. Mack. I appreciate that point of view. I came to the county commission a couple of years ago, but it started back in the 90s with needs, and have worked with the county commission over the years. And when Kenny was on the county commission, we did some things when the library went digital, and we made some space arrangements and so forth. But I came independent of the jail. I didn't come with Toby to build something together. I came because of I have an obligation on behalf of the justice system to have our needs met, and that's how I came to the county commission. It just so happened that Toby came about the same time with his needs, and so we were trying to address two different needs, and then it kind of went down the path where things merged, and we got to the Justice Center project. But I'm in agreement with you that they're not necessarily tied together. There is a tie between, obviously, between the sheriff's department as an officer of the court that enforces our court orders and has responsibility for security for the judicial system and for transport of in-custody prisoners and people that are sentenced in a safe manner so that we've got a safe place to do justice. But they can be combined, they can be separate, and that's something that needs to be looked at. And they could be phased. There's a whole bunch of options there.
Yeah. So yeah, and again, I'm just trying to, one second, Mr. Larson. So we're grouping the options, I think, at this point, into two groups. One is, you know, what the final product might look like, if it's the way it is now, if it's a, you know, add-on, if it's a new facility, whatever it might be, and how we're going to accomplish that. You know, so you need a set of options for that as well. So, Mr. Larson.
The only thing, Lee, I'd like to say is I applaud you folks for being on this committee.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know there's other places you'd rather be right now. I think what you have to sell, first of all, I don't know if you want to call a gag order for the rest of, like, the county commission or whatever, have a centralized voice, that being you, the chair of this committee, to give out information and accurate information. Not get in arguments with people out in the audiences or anything like that. Not try to fudge that 146,228 had a footprint of 55,000, because it wasn't selling and wasn't resonating with the voters. And it showed in that. Just like Judge Kim said, we got froze up with a mill levy that was below it should have been when Governor Janko froze that mill levy.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two or three years I was on the commission, we were trying to address things, and it was a band-aid. But some of it worked out. And I mean, no one wants to see, I think our primary goal is to have one central voice with accurate information that'll speak to the public. You can't have someone on the county commission saying that Cottington County Courthouse, that's unsustainable. I've been in that Cottington County Courthouse with my mother when she was registered deeds. I was in it at 12 years with the county commissioner. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I went over there. Court in the 29 plus years I was in the police department.
And then there are the days you spent there in juvenile court when you were in high school, Kenny.
I'll tell you just a short anecdote to that.
We hold this story.
I picked up for speeding, and he said to me, he says, "You're Alcee's son, aren't you?" He come off the bench and grabbed me by the ear and took him down and said, "Here, take care of him. I don't need to deal with him up there."
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be 70.
Again, I applaud you folks for taking on the responsibility. But when you have, like I said, when you have people say we're going to spend this $5.7 million in court space, and then all of a sudden it goes 360 and you're saying, no, we got to keep some of that stuff back to reserve. That isn't going any place with the dump.
Well, I think yeah, thank you for the points. You're helping us a little bit with the process that we're talking about tonight. So that was one thing I didn't really ask for, but I appreciate that. Okay, thank you. Anybody else before we move on? So the way I think we can address, if you look at the middle column here and who's doing what, that's kind of where we stand. So for now, I will start making, I think we got the historical data. Those are currently being tracked. One thing I do want to hit on, and where it says stakeholder impact, so the impact of the standards, the best practices on the facility. So, for example, a stakeholder might be the state's attorney. What I would like to hear, this is something I probably should have asked for more specifically a minute ago, but who are some of the people we need to be talking to? And over the course, there might be somebody we have to talk to separately. They might be able to join us for a committee meeting and help us to sort through some issues and just to understand the impact of, say, what's going on with the current facility and what's going on what would happen, they think, in their opinion, you know, of having a facility that's modern and to current standards and best practices. So, I don't know, and I'd like some ideas on that one. So I'm thinking state's attorney, perhaps the Watertown Police Department. Anybody else? Thank you for nodding your head, Greg. It makes me feel...
It's a great idea to bring a person in each time and talk to us about that.
Okay. Well, I would just ask you to think about that. Then, you know, there may be something as we develop, say, the next agenda or future agendas, please be thinking about who we need to talk to and who cares about what these facilities currently do and what they might do.
I guess one thing I'd be interested to see is what Judge Tim brought to you several years ago or whenever that was.
I've
got a stack of, yeah. And it's just a kind of a going back in time to when this project started a couple of years ago, and just to show how it progressed and the different discussions and how we were taking all of this very seriously. And I ran off some notes, and I think Cindy's got those. Maybe she can.
I went through them already
for you, but there's other material in there that goes back. To when we first approached the county commission about having another jury trial capable courtroom, and we did have an architectural study done by Pope, and I can't find that. We also did a security study, and these things we can probably get a hold of somewhere along the line, but it does go back quite a few years.
So
in time.
That's most of that is that online. On the website, I didn't put in like all the emails, but a lot of the attachments that the 2002 letter from the circuit to the county commission asking for some help with the space, that's on there. So that starts to outline some of the things. Like that's where I got the overbooking idea to put on the slide.
I was going to interject one. I think that was you kind of covered that. You know. I think it's fair to the committee members that weren't a part of the process the last go around. The information, you know, the space needs assessment that the county commissioners hired Architect Inc. is very bulky. There's a lot of information, but it goes back to like previous commissioners did an analysis of space needs in 2002. There's documentation there. And there's previous stuff Judge Tim has talked about that he's brought. I just wanted to point out that the reason we don't come here with boxes of paper and start handing it out to every one of you folks and the public is to do that for Commissioner Gable and myself. We're spending taxpayer dollars, and we're simply not allowed to do that. That's why with our previous analyzing of what we did, that committee did fundraising and got money together to put together that information. So just so you're aware, we can post all that information on the website, use computers. That doesn't cost us any money. So
it doesn't do that. that for the web.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that is being paid for. The website's there and available, so.
Yeah. So, yeah. That
answers, it'll start reading.
Yeah, yeah. So that the stuff that's, yeah, where it says assemble before, so that'll be useful to you.
I guess kind of an overview thing, first of all, would help rather than big detailed thing that we can.
Well, that's one thing that's a bit of a challenge because it happened over a period of time. That's why we're doing. That's kind of what we're talking about tonight. It's in pieces. So it happened starting back in 2002, and discussions. I think if what might be helpful and is if we. If you have those ideas, maybe there's something specific we can hit on at each meeting to make sure we got clarity on a particular point or a piece of history. So that might be something. So if you see something that you have more questions about, we can start asking around, asking other. Maybe we need to ask another stakeholder or talk to somebody in the community that might know. So for example, I've contacted the two previous architect consultants. I'm asking them if they can just give us what they have, and. So we'll see how that happens. And that's a little bit of information on the structure of, you know, the blueprint kind of understanding of what we have. Let's go to the next slide here. So some of the other things I want to let folks know that I have been talking to two potential consultants. And one is the National Center for State Courts. I don't know how that's going to come out. I'm waiting for a proposal there. So what we probably would do is, depending on when that would come in, if I have those, both of these proposals, we'll definitely talk about those at the next meeting to see what we get. And essentially those are a lot of the data projection guys, the guys that can compare the data to the facilities, and they know the standards, they can say them in their sleep. So those kind of people. And then the GL consultant I had a conversation with was Bill Garnos, who's done some consulting for Minnehaha County. So we'll see what those proposals look like, and if those look like they're going to answer our needs. But at the same time, we all kind of all need to be reading up on this stuff, and it's fascinating. I've enjoyed, so you'll enjoy it. I'm sure you won't fall asleep. So, but anyway, so just like I said, familiarize yourself with what's going on. I already asked a question about other stakeholders. So far, the ones that I thought of were the police department and the state's attorney, but I'm sure there's going to be some other ones. The victim services would be another one. We should probably just, you know, say what do they think, what do they see as the impact of the current facility, and what do they think would happen with future facilities, something different. And the other thing, and we had a little bit of this in just now from folks, is keep thinking about those criteria. Keep thinking about things that will help us evaluate options. Some of those are the yes or no things. Some of those are the comparative things. Now, that, you know, like what Mr. Mack brought out was very interesting, that a comparative way of looking at the ACA standards. So those kinds of questions. Now, one thing I'm going to try to work on is kind of a way where we can kind of establish. We talked about what we know, what we're not comfortable with, and what we don't know, and kind of a way of tracking all those things, and over time maybe breaking those down into some detail. So if we talk about inventorying the space, we start breaking that down into particular parts of the courthouse, particular parts of the jail, and kind of get a red, amber, green, or some kind of where we know where we stand in a process. So that's going to. I plan to take a go at that initially, but I think we'll probably need to discuss that over time to develop something that helps us to follow what we're doing. Because what we want to do is get to a point where we're measuring, as we go through the needs determination, that we're measuring or getting an idea of what we're doing. Because if you don't really measure it, you don't really manage it. So it helps us to pay attention to what we're doing without spending too much time on the tracking, but at the same time making sure that we're in the right place, or at least we know where we are. And then there are a number of interesting guides. Some of them are linked to the website about not just the standards and best practices for a particular facility or for running a facility, but also planning practices. So there's some really interesting guides. One's from the well, I referenced them before, the National Institute of Corrections, you know, basically how to build a jail. So what do counties, what do small local governing authorities need to think about? And some of those ideas might be good to take a look at if you have time. I know we'll have time. Yeah. Okay. So, and then, like Mr. Larson was talking about, thinking about those public information tasks that we need to have a fact-based dialogue. That's one of the goals of that website, is we put out what we're talking about. We try to find those points in the meetings that we have where we can ask the public for their input where it's appropriate. And then I would ask you to do, because of the South Dakota public meeting laws, which we put in our charter that we want to follow, we're going to need to post draft minutes. I think it's within, I want to say it's within a week or 10 days, but we post those to the website. But those don't become official until the next meeting when we approve those minutes. That's one of the first items of the next agenda. So if you would take a look when those go online, I'll try to let everybody know that those draft minutes are posted. And so you can take a look and make sure they look accurate. And then so we have something that's reasonably accurate posted before they're approved. And then I think we're already hitting on some. Give me some, if you have ideas for what you want to see on the agenda, contact me. I would ask Julie, as the secretary, if you'd CC her on all those things. And so we can be thinking about what to put on the agenda. And maybe you know, we may get overcrowded on one particular time, so we may have to juggle things around from one meeting to the next. Okay. Any questions on that, Mr. Waslin?
I was just thinking, I know they do some contracting now with other counties. Mm-hmm. Are we possibly looking at a regional?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. That I think that comes under two categories. We're definitely, I mean, de facto, we can say that our jail is a regional jail. It is de facto. So how do we want to approach that? So here's what, I'll just give you I don't want to get too far ahead of the process, but if you think it through and we decide, okay, we need to do this or that, this particular thing, we need to modify a facility or build a new one or something, and it, the de facto thing is it's regional. So the one good thing about the regional getting a consultant is they can help analyze those populations from those other counties as well, and that's similar to what the jail consultant for Minnehaha did, because Lincoln County, for example, uses the Minnehaha jail, and there's other U.S. Marshals, other populations that use that. And so and you can break those things apart. So that's one regional look at as we dig into our information. The other thing I think is as we look at an option to execute, to do whatever we recommend that we're – whatever option we choose, so this would be an execution option, maybe looking at what we can do with other counties. And I don't know how feasible it is. It's a new thing in this state. I know other states do, you know, they do joint powers things, but the issue is, you know, with a bunch of counties that would have to bond this, that can get very pretty challenging, but we definitely should take a look at it, so... That's my take on it. So, anybody else? Okay. All right. Well, so we need to talk about when we're going to do our next meetings. So, your calendars. If